So as Jeremy has said, it's a reading can be found on page 13, page 13 of the your pew Bible. And it's from Genesis chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. The second reading can be found on page 982. And it's from Matthew chapter 15, reading verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus didn't answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, David. That's brilliant. And maybe you'd like to keep that second passage open, and then you can follow along as we go through it now. Matthew chapter 15, page 982. Let me lead us in a prayer, and we'll ask the Lord Jesus for his help. Lord, we thank you that this Bible passage is not something dry and dead and old, but it is your living word. And we pray that as we look at it now, that we will meet you again in your word. And we pray for the help of your Spirit to hear what you're saying to us this morning about our need for your mercy. Amen. Well, I wonder if you can think of a time when you have needed mercy. Maybe you can think of a time back in your past where you feel like you've needed someone to have mercy on you, someone to give you help, relief, special kindness. I wonder if there's something like that in your past. Maybe you were going through a hard time. Maybe you were very ill. Maybe you were having a very hard time with your family. Maybe there was a relationship that was very hard for you and you felt like you needed mercy. My family have had COVID over the past few weeks. And I wanted to say a thank you, because many of you have shown us mercy over that time. We've had a number of very kind messages. A number of you have offered food and help and that kind of thing. And thank you. That was amazing. It's a wonderful thing to be offered mercy, isn't it, when you're in need? At its best, a church is a loving family where we show each other mercy. And we show mercy to those outside as well. It's a terrible thing when mercy is missing. There was a story in the news just a few days ago. There was an 85-year-old man. He lived in Paris, in France, and he was out walking near his home. And he fell over because he was 85 years old, and he fell down onto the pavement. And it was a very busy area, lots of people walking everywhere. But he fell over, and he was unable to get up, but nobody helped him. And he lay there on the pavement for 9 hours. Nobody helped him. And eventually he died. He was so cold, he died of hypothermia. Now, isn't that terrible? And it's caused a lot of soul searching in Paris. You know, they've been thinking, what kind of people are we? Mercy is a wonderful thing. It's terrible when it's lacking. Well, the God of the Bible is a God of mercy. He feels pity. He shows us relief. He shows us help and special kindness. And he sent his son into the world to show us mercy. And that's what we're going to see in our Bible passage this morning. We're going through Matthew's Gospel, chapters 14, 15, and 16 at the moment. Matthew was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was an eyewitness of the things that Jesus did and he said. And Matthew's been telling us that Jesus is the great king that God promised, and that he's come into this world to show us God's mercy. And in this passage, Jesus meets a woman who asks him for mercy. And we're going to see what happens. We're going to look at it in three parts. Here's the first part up on screen, where we see God's saving plan. Jew first, then Gentile. And I'll explain what that means. We're looking at verses 21 to 24. If you'd like to follow along, have a look down and I'll read verse 21. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Last week, we saw Jesus in conflict with some religious leaders. And we know that actually they're planning to kill him. And Jesus was already quite far away in the north, in Galilee. But now, because of this conflict, he goes even further north to try and get somewhere safer. And he now has to go to this area called Tyre and Sidon, where the people who live there are all non-Jews. They're Gentiles. None of them are Jews. And verse 22, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity, from that area, came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. So a woman comes to Jesus. Her daughter is in real trouble. And Matthew calls this woman a Canaanite. And what he means by that is she is a total Gentile. She is absolutely not a Jew. The Canaanites were God's enemies in the Old Testament part of the Bible. But wow, this woman seems to know a lot about Jesus. She's respectful, she calls him Lord, and she's heard that he's the promised king of the Jews, the son of David. And so she comes to him and she asks for mercy. Her daughter's in real trouble. But did you notice what happens next? There's a surprise. Verse 23, Jesus didn't answer a word. And you think, what's going on? Is Jesus being rude? The next bit says, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. You can imagine what they're saying. You know, help her, Lord, and then pack her off. She's making a real racket. She keeps crying out for help over and over again. But verse 24, Jesus says, I can't help her. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. You see, actually, Jesus isn't being rude. This is God's plan. He's been sent by God only to the Jews. And Jesus wants his disciples and this woman to know that. And he wants us to know it too. Like it says up on the screen, this is God's saving plan, Jew first, and then Gentile, non-Jews. You might remember the first reading that we had that David read out to us. The Lord says to Abraham, he says these words up on screen. He says, "Go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So this is God right at the very beginning of the Bible. He chooses Abraham, and he chooses the Jewish people in order to bless all of the peoples in the whole world. God's saving plan is to choose the Jews in order to bless all the peoples in the whole world. That's his plan. And so here's Jesus in our story today. And Jesus has come as the Jewish Messiah to the Jews. But later on, he's going to die, he's going to rise, and he'll say, "Go and make disciples of all nations." But we haven't got to that bit yet. At this point in the Bible story, Jesus has come just for the Jews. It's like it says on screen, it's God's saving plan, Jew first, and then Gentile. It's a little bit like this. The Winter Olympics started on Friday, didn't they? Maybe you saw the news, maybe you saw the opening ceremony on TV, Beijing 2022. So imagine yourself, you're there in your sitting room, you've got the TV on, and you're watching the opening ceremony. And a family member or a friend comes in, and they stand there, just in the room, they're just looking at the TV to see what it is you're watching. And on the screen, there's lots of fireworks, lots of bright lights, the five Olympic rings sort of coming out of this big block of ice. It's all looking very impressive. And your friend asks you, is this the Winter Olympics? Is this the opening ceremony? And you say, yeah, it is. And your friend says, have all the different countries come in yet? You know, when they come in waving their flags, have they all come in yet? And you say, oh, we haven't got to that bit yet. That comes later. And it's just like that here in this Bible passage. All the different countries haven't come in yet. We get to that bit later. But God's saving plan at this stage is for Jesus to be sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But then later, the message goes to all nations. And it's good for us to be reminded of that. It's humbling. Thank God that it's Jew first and then Gentile, because I guess most of us here, probably almost all of us, are not from a Jewish background. And so it's humbling for us. And I wonder if you've ever prayed for Jewish people to become followers of Jesus. Maybe you have a Jewish friend. You could be praying that for them. Maybe you could pray for some very well-known Jewish people like Jeff Goldblum or Barbara Streisand or other sort of well-known Jewish people. Well, there's a wonderful ministry called Jews for Jesus. And they're Jewish people who have become Christians. And they're then trying to reach other Jews with the message about Jesus. It's a wonderful way of praying for Jews to come to know Jesus. Well, let's keep going. And we'll see more of God's saving plan. We'll see some bad news, and then we see some good news. Here's the bad news, first of all, that sin puts us far from God. And we're looking now at verses 25 and 26. So verse 25, the woman came and knelt before Jesus. "Lord, help me," she said. It seems as though she has been far away, at a distance, sort of crying out for mercy. But now she comes right up to Jesus, and she's humble, and she kneels before him. She's a mother in need. But verse 26, Jesus said, It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. And we're a bit shocked. And we think, what's going on? Is Jesus being rude again? But he's not being rude. No, he's showing us on screen that sin puts us far from God. He says it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. The children are the Jews. The bread is the good news, blessing from God. And the dogs are Gentiles, outsiders, non-Jews. And at this point, Jesus is saying, at this point, it's not right to bring God's blessing to the Gentiles. Jesus has been sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It's not God's plan for now. We haven't got to that part yet. Now, don't worry, we have to get to the rest of the story. The story actually has a happy ending. But we need to pause and we need to think about sin for a moment. Like it says on screen, sin puts us far from God. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs, Jesus says. It's a forceful way of talking about sin. Sin is real. Sin puts us far from God. All of us are sinners. We all naturally turn away from the living God. We don't deserve a place in his kingdom of heaven. We don't belong there. He is holy. We are not. Now that makes us uncomfortable. We don't like hearing that. We don't like thinking about that. And we try to soften it. We try to persuade ourselves that actually we're okay. We're not that bad. But we do need to listen to what Jesus says here. Sin puts us far from God. It's a bit like this story that I heard. People sometimes get something wrong with their feet. It's not very nice. It's a fungal infection. It's called ringworm. It's not a very nice thing. And back in the 1930s, long time ago, they discovered a cream that could help. And so they started to think, well, okay, how can we start selling this cream that helps people with this thing on their feet? And the advertising guy pointed out that ringworm doesn't sound very nice. And he said, don't call it ringworm. Nobody wants to be caught buying a cream for ringworm. And then one of the advertising guys, a guy called Obi Winters, had a brilliant idea. And he said, call it something else. Don't call it ringworm. Call it athlete's foot. Call it athlete's foot. You could imagine it was an advertising stroke of genius, because you imagine people walking into the shop and saying, yeah, I need some cream for my athlete's foot. Yeah, do a lot of jogging. Yeah, a lot of weightlifting. I need some cream for that, for my athlete's foot. You'd be disappointed not to have athlete's foot, wouldn't you? It's just ringworm. But they called it athlete's foot. Started flying off the shelves. And that's why it's called athlete's foot today. But you know, you and I are like that with our sin. We downplay it. We soft pedal it. We call it other things. But there's really no pleasant way to describe how we treat God. Just have a look back at verse 19. This was a verse we looked at last week. Jeremy mentioned it at the start of the service. It's Jesus talking about sin. He says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. This is the reality of sin, evil thoughts. We think such terrible things at times, don't we? I do. Murder. Or angry words, as Jesus says elsewhere, which has the kind of the same DNA as murder. Adultery, sexual immorality, that's any sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Or again, Jesus says that lustful thoughts have the same kind of DNA. Theft, like taking things from work that we shouldn't do, or ordering something online and then telling the delivery company that it didn't arrive, even though it did arrive. False testimony and slander, telling lies to just make life easier, or saying cruel words about someone behind their back. It's sin. And sin puts us far from God. I'm sinful, and you're sinful too. Well, let's hurry on to the last verses, because we've heard the bad news. Let's look at the good news. Let's move on to verses 27 and 28, where we see this. Jesus gives mercy when we ask. Jesus gives mercy when we ask. So verse 26, Jesus has said, look, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. It's not right to bless the Gentiles yet. And then this woman, this Gentile woman, gives this brilliant answer. Just have a look down, verse 27. Listen to this answer. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. It's a brilliant answer. She doesn't get angry. Yeah, we'll stuff you then. She doesn't complain. That's not fair. She doesn't whinge. But you don't know what it's like, Jesus. Instead, she simply asks for mercy. She's very wise. She's very humble. It's a brilliant answer. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I know you've come for the Jews. I know that we're not Jews, but I know that you're merciful. Please, have mercy on us. I know we don't deserve the bread at this stage, but please, just give us some crumbs. And Jesus is bowled over. Who is this woman? She's a Canaanite. But she has real faith, real humility, and she's asking for mercy. In verse 28, Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She asks for mercy, and he gives it gladly. He's not at all reluctant at this point. She has faith. He is delighted to help her, and he heals her daughter. And that healing is just a little sign of the enormous salvation that he's brought for the whole world. And we're seeing something here about who Jesus is. We're seeing his gospel heart for the nations. We need to remember who Jesus is. He is about to go to the cross. He is about to swap in for all of his sinful people from all nations. And he's going to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins, so that we can know God forever. We're going to remember that in a few minutes when we take communion together. And then later, Jesus is the one who will say, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus will offer his kingdom to all nations. And how do we get into his kingdom? Because you and I are sinners, we don't belong there. How do we get in? Well, we're to remember this woman. Jesus gives mercy when we ask. That's how you get in. There was a woman in America called Bessie Shipp, and she was in prison one Christmas. She'd messed her life up. She was in prison and she was dying of AIDS. And on that Christmas day, she decided to go along to the Christmas service in the prison. And at that service, she heard about Jesus and she heard about his mercy. And afterwards, she wanted to go and talk to the person leading the service. And as they talked, Bessie heard more about Jesus and about his mercy. And she decided that she wanted to ask him for some of that mercy herself. And she became a follower of his that day. And not long after, she was able to leave prison. And she joined a local church and she joined a Bible study group. And she had Christian friends for the first time in her life. But sadly, just 3 weeks after coming out of prison, she caught pneumonia. And because she had AIDS, it was a death sentence. And she was in hospital, and a Christian minister came to visit her. And struggling, Bessie whispered to this minister, "These have been the happiest days of my life, to know that Jesus loves me and that you love me." And 2 days later, she passed away. And she went to meet the Savior that she had turned to in prison on Christmas Day. It's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus gives mercy to those who ask. It might be that you're here today at church and you feel a million miles away from God. Do you know there is a way back to him? There is a way into his kingdom. How do we get there? Well, we don't earn our way in. We don't buy our way in. We don't bluff our way in. We don't bulldoze our way in. We just ask for mercy. Maybe you've never done that before. It's actually very easy. Why not just come and talk to me? We'll talk to another leader here afterwards. We'd love to explain more. Jesus gives mercy when we ask. And we want mercy to shape our church, don't we? We want mercy to shape our church. If we're a church that knows the mercy that Jesus gives us, it changes us. It sweetens us. We want to be a church that reaches out with that message of mercy, don't we? There are people all around us with messed up, sinful lives, all kinds of painful issues going on in their lives. They need to hear about Jesus and the message of mercy that he brings. We have a wonderful message to share with people. Let's reach out with that message. Let's be having friendships with people who are not involved here at St. Mary's. Let's show them acts of mercy. Let's tell them that message of mercy. And let's keep showing that mercy to each other. Let's be a church family marked by mercy, where we're merciful to each other. Let's be there for each other. Let's help each other. I wonder if there's a friend here from church that you could be merciful to this week. Maybe a kind text that you could send somebody. Maybe a knock on the door. Maybe taking a meal round. We've received mercy. Let's pass it on. Let me lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you have come into this world to show the world mercy. We thank you that you showed that ultimately at the cross, where you paid in death and blood to save your people. Lord Jesus, help us to know your mercy. And help us to show your mercy to our friends here at church and to our friends outside this church family as well. We pray that that would bring you honor and glory. Amen.